You give me joy that's unspeakable. Now, this is a familiar song. How many of you knew this song? I'm pretty sure lots did. Love this song. As we were getting ready for this joy series, I was like, we got to do that song. We got to do that song. I love that song. And you know, as I was getting ready to preach this week, we talked last week as Jake hit it hard. This is the gift of God. This is the joy that's found in Christ. This is it. And then this week, we're talking about, okay, the joy is Christ, that's it. How do I keep the joy, you know, because I believe it. But then how come I'm not a joyful person all the time? And this song, oh, song. You give me joy that's unspeakable. And I like it. Woo, I like it. It's kind of an interesting thought for us. I think it's very true as you know, you have these kids that walk around in your life, and sometimes kids seem to be in their, you know, not so happy mood, and sometimes, you know, they're just joyful, playing, happy, singing songs, and you're like, why are you so happy? Why are you so happy? Because for us, joy is not the norm, right? Why are you so happy? And yet, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. And what a tremendous statement. What a tremendous statement. That the joy that we have in the Lord is unspeakable. Have you ever had a moment of your life where you just feel so great? Why do you feel so great? I don't know. I'm in a good mood. You ever have that moment? I'm pretty sure you have. And it's a great moment. When the joy is in our life, it is a transforming of how we react to people. Because we're just in a good mood. It's unbelievable. And this is actually what the Bible actually has to tell us about. It's a tremendous statement. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. I mean, this is what Paul's saying. In the midst of all the afflictions, I'm overflowing with joy. How do you do with that? In the midst of all the afflictions, are you just joyful people? I think that's the challenge for us. The hard moments that come and rob us of the joy that God has won for us in Christ. In the midst of affliction, we still have a light heart, an absolute positive view. And it's not always easy. In fact, I love that it says this again and again, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. But rejoice as you share Christ's suffering. So the verse starts with, rejoice when you are sharing the suffering of Jesus. And then it gets even better. It goes on and it says, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed to you. When he returns. I mean, so he says this. Number one, rejoice in your suffering. And number two, because someday you're going to rejoice in the glory of God, which you don't totally understand yet. That seems like a little tough sell point, you know? Why would I rejoice in suffering? And how can I rejoice for things that I don't fully understand exactly what's going to happen to this earth when Christ returns? And yet, you know, the answer is so very clear. It's not about just, oh, I'm going to be a positive person. This will work. Because I've dealt with people who have this circumstance where they say, oh, I'm sure God is going to do this. And then God doesn't do what they expect. And they struggle. Because now their hope is gone. As Pastor Jake got us started last week hitting this theme, our hope, our joy is not in what we see is not in what we expect to happen in our lives. The joy that we have is above it all. Like Paul, we are people who have joy in the great days and joy in the hard times. Joy is a gift, and it's a gift of that very Spirit of God. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it's kind of getting the Thessalonians starting, and he says this, "For you received the word in much affliction with the Holy Spirit," that you receive the truth of God with joy, even in the hard times, and it's not because you're a great Christian, you've grown up well, and you do it all right. It's because the Spirit of God is living in you. You are not alone. You are not the one that's supposed to correct yourself and get things right. You have the very Spirit of God in your heart and in your life. And for us as Christians, as we walk through this world, one of the difficult things for us is getting our attention off everything we see, getting off the attention off all our brains and all the things we're thinking, and recognizing the Spirit of God is with me. He's stronger than anything we face. If we stop trying to resolve everything and simply trust in Him, He'll do better things than our own decisions. For He is the very Spirit of God who lives in us. This is one of the things about baptism. When you are baptized, we had two adults and a child being baptized at this Saturday night service. And it's awesome because when we do baptism, we always talk about what it does. And it's amazing that in baptism, our sins are washed clean, completely forgiven. In baptism, the Spirit of God is in you. In you, no matter what. And so it gives us power no matter what we face. In fact, as it says in Romans chapter 5, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, because the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is in you through this. And so this is the reality for us. As we are Christians, last week we talked about joy. Well, how do we find joy? How do we make joy happen in our life? Well, guess what? God's not calling you to make joy happen. He's saying, I will make your joy happen. I'm here. I'm in you. I give you strength. I give you a smile, even on sometimes when you're not so smiley. I'm looking around, everyone's getting serious, I tell you. We have a light heart because the Spirit in us is there not to punish and threaten and beat us up. He's there to give us hope. He's there to give us direction to help shape our life. But He's also there that the joy of the Lord is part of our hearts and part of our lives. I think one of the challenges as we kind of walk through this is our culture and joy. You read the statistics and you discover this reality. If you say something negative and you say something positive, you have to say the positive things 7 times before they will remember it on the same level as the negative thing. You understand? This is the truth. We can go up to someone and say, "You are a sweet person, but I think you should fix the fact that you're stealing my car." And people would be like, "Oh, you're so rude. Why don't you? You're just always hating of me." I mean, you can go up to someone and say, "Hey, you are so sweet. Our friendship has meant so much to me. You're such a good example of how to cook. You cook so amazingly well, and you're such a wonderful friend. You're always there when I call. I appreciate it so much, and I'm so grateful that we live next door, that we are friends and not just, people who we actually walk with each other through life." And I want you to return my car that you stole from me. Because I know that you had a good plan at some point, and you know that I'm with you. And it's like, this is our culture. You have to say so many positives because the negatives just dominate the life. And I'm sure all of you have this experience. It's how do you get rid of the negatives that grab hold of us? The negatives are powerful. Proverbs chapter 17 says this: a joyful heart is a good medicine. You know, you think when you're sick and you need medicine, well, it's kind of funny. The statistics are this: when you go into the hospital and there's all the problems and you have a joyful heart, you actually seem to correct better the body, because the joyful heart is what God longs for us, his people, to be and to have. You know, I think about this all the time. How do you help people grab hold of joy? And for me, one of the helpful things in my life is the concept of prayer. And prayer is something that took a long time to grow. I grew up Lutheran. You know, we went to church. We prayed for our meal. But, you know, praying in life became something difficult. And so what happened was, you know, I think what was a great change in my life, and I don't do this every morning because I'm not a perfect person, but I try every day to start with a verse. And this is Psalms 118. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's something that some mornings I wake up and I'm half tired and I'm like, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. But you know what? It is something that wakes up us to know the victory is ours in Christ. The God who's with us is greater than anything we face. Every day is a joyful day. And it's tough, but we remind ourselves of it. We grab hold. I mean, this is even what Philippians was talking about in chapter 4. It goes on, and it talks about, you know, whatever's excellent, whatever is worthy, whatever's good, you know, keep your heart and mind on the positives, because the negatives just tear you down. And they're not dream positives. They're absolute positives that God is with us, that God has his plan, that God is at work in our lives day after day. John chapter 24 talks about this. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. And this is what he's telling his disciples as before he's about ready to leave. And he says now this: ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Talk to me. Talk to me. Lean on me. For if you want joy, it's hard to find joy in all the things of life. But the joy of God is there for us. We simply lean on him and talk to him again and again. So we know that it comes through that Holy Spirit which is alive in us. We know it comes when we simply pray. Even sing songs. I think every time we sing in a service, what a difference it is when we're just not singing a song, but we're singing the song to the God. We're hearing the things that he wants to remind us of. These are all powerful things that he has for us. Now, one of the things, it's sort of dumb sometimes the way we pastors have to do it, but we're talking about where joy is found, and you guys are here in church. Well, guess what? One of the great things is assistance for us as we walk through this life, not to let go and allow the fears and the worries and the angers to grab hold of us, is that we come to church, that we gather together. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But we work with you for your joy. This is what Paul is writing to people. We're here for a reason. We want you to have joy. This is what the body of Christ does, in working together, in being connected with each other. And I know our culture is a little difficult in this way. And here's one of the important things. As you walk into church on Sunday, it's not like, okay, I got to act joyful or people are going to wonder what's wrong with me. No. No. It's not fake it. It's okay to come to church and have someone say, hey, how are you? And you be honest and say, yeah, I'm having a struggle. Because let me tell you, it's when you share the struggles of your life and you bring these to God where two are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. This is Jesus. So we're meant to come to this place in the good times and the bad. I remember back when I was in high school, I had this moment that I was just frustrated beyond belief. And there's all these people getting together, and they're getting together for this celebration songs and everything. And I decided for the first time, I'm so upset. I'm going to the back row. And I'm in the back row, and I'm standing here during the singing the good, glorious songs, and I'm just grumpy. I'm not singing a word. My arms are crossed. And I'm just waiting for someone to come and say, hey, how are you? Because I'm just going to go, no, I'm terrible, and God's cruel and mean. And you know what? I realized when I need help, I just need to come. We need to pray, but sometimes we need others to talk with. We don't need to just, you can come and lash your anger with someone that cares about you. I've said it to people all the time, come talk to me. Come talk to me. We need to say that to our friends and people and say, hey, if you're upset, come talk to me. Go ahead, scream. It's okay. It's okay. I'll pray with you. We always figure, I have people come to me all the time and say, how do you deal with this, right? And the answer is pretty basic and clear, right? Someone comes and screams and yells, whatever you're supposed to say. It's okay. Let's pray. It's not about having the right words to say in many circumstances. It's just about being there. And that's what we are as a church. We come together to be there, to walk with each other as we go through this life. This is a powerful part of our lives. And for us as a church, oh man, I love this church. I've been to many other churches, and I love coming here because there's a light heart. We're not here to beat other people up. We're not here to whine and complain. We all recognize the failures of life. We're here to celebrate the gift of God. We're here to celebrate the God who forgives us all our mistakes. We're here to walk with each other. And joy is one of the great things of walking with each other in this life of faith. Now, as I was kind of getting ready for this whole sermon, I had this moment in my life where I'm in college at this point, and I am a new college guy. You don't know many people. You're walking around. You're going doing things that you know are not smart. And here I am, and I know I'm trying to read my Bible, so I'm trying to read Psalms, and I'm about ready to do something foolish in my life because I'm looking for something to bring me joy in this college world, which was a different world. And I read it, Psalm chapter 4. And there is more joy in my heart, right? There's more joy in my heart than when grain and new wine abound. You know what I'm thinking about when I'm in college in that circumstance, I'm pretty sure. Christ does not want you to discover something to be a joyful person. My joy is here for you. My spirit is in you. Don't think that you can't find joy. The Spirit of God is in you to equip you to do things that you don't feel even capable of. To let go of things that you feel like I can't let go of. The Spirit of God is in you. And God calls you. Pray. Sing. Bring it to me. Let it go. And let me tell you, oh, there's so much. There's so much in coming together with the body of Christ. You give me joy that's unspeakable. I pray for you, each and every one of you this week, that you don't even know why you're happy. That the joy of the Lord would fill your heart and fill your lives, not because he's worked things out, not because you see it all, not because you've, you know, finally corrected the things wrong. May the joy of the Lord just grab hold. Because I'll tell you what, you'll like it. You'll like it. Yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that you send your spirits into our life, your spirit, Lord, the Holy Spirit, which lives in us. For Lord, sometimes we are overwhelmed. These things are bigger than us. These things are outside of our control. And Lord, we are so glad that the Spirit of God is in us to do things in us that we could never do ourselves, to even wake up our hearts, allow us to let go of the fears and the concerns and the worries, and allow us to walk in this world in the joy that you have won for us. Father, may the Spirit grab hold of us. Help us to dig in, to just truly spend time talking with you. Because in our time of prayer, it's when we can release the struggles. Lord, to sing songs, and not just sing a song, but sing the words to you, the God who is longing to touch us, to grab hold of us. And Father, as we are a body of Christ, we walk with each other. For there are times we need someone to come and remind us, hey, it's okay, let it go. There's times we need someone to come with a smile. And Lord, you have called us together as the body of Christ, and we're in a culture and a world that struggles sometimes. They're just negative and frustrated. And Lord, the joy of the Lord is a tremendous gift. May we grow in that joy. And Lord, in all circumstances, we are so grateful that there's a reason for it in Jesus. Amen.